Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is Dr. John Stamey and saying welcome to everybody on ScaryCast, the best paranormal show in the world, I think. We're going to have a great time tonight. We've got a wonderful guest. He's a friend of mine, and his name is Wyatt, and he is from Gate City, Virginia. Good evening, Wyatt. How are you doing tonight?
Doing really good tonight. Just now able to sit down and enjoy the evening. So I'm glad to be on the show for you all.
That's good, Wyatt. And we've got our other co-host for the evening, the one and only Surgeon General of ScaryCast, Dr. Trey Donaway. How are you doing tonight?
Doing great, John. Thank you.
We are glad to have you here. Wyatt is here with us. And Wyatt, I'm going to tell you how I met Wyatt, because that's interesting, number one. And then his story is absolutely fantastic. And by the way, I spoke with our buddy Spencer Fisher, who was number two world MMA for about a year and a half. And he is going to be with us on October the 24th. That's going to be a big one. He's going to talk about Spencer Fisher is going to talk about his two visits to Skinwalker Ranch. So that's going to be a really incredible evening with ScaryCast. But anyway, wanted to tell everybody, okay, here's how I met Wyatt. Cody Haynes and I were doing caricatures at this event called Conapalooza in Knoxville, Tennessee, you know, in Kingsport, Tennessee, at the Kingsport Civic Center. It was 2 weeks before the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. So we were there, and we were very close to having done $1,000 worth of caricatures, paying our bills and everything for that event. So we were close to it. We were about, $15, $20 short. So it was about time for the event to end at 4 p.m. on Sunday. And I said, Cody, just sit here, and I'm going to bring some people, and we're going to hit that magic $1,000. He said, John, that sounds great. So I walked around, and I saw this dude with long hair, and he had this very cool look. I said, you know, I think he'd be fun to do a caricature of. But he was busy talking to this couple at a table, and it's not polite to go up and try to poach customers right in front of somebody. So I just kind of like lurked around waiting for him to be done, and he was talking to them about some of the things that they had on sale, and he didn't buy anything, so we turned around and kind of like stuck my face in his. I said, hey, man, we're doing specials on caricatures, $5 for a black and white caricature, and I bet you want to get one, so follow me on over. In other words, I used the old sales technique. I didn't give him a chance to say no. I just said, come on. So he came on over. We talked a little bit, and he sat down, and he started getting his $5 caricature. And I showed him a book that I had there on sale. It was called Introduction to Hominology. It's a book that I co-wrote with Dr. Igor Burtsev, and it's kind of a classic in the field.
What
That's
what sparked the interest, reading that the title of the book on the table. I was like, okay, you might be into some of the things I might have to talk about.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, and I started talking to him about the paranormal. We had a fairly lively discussion, and I said, all right, I'm going to give you a free ticket to the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference, and I hope you'll come. Well, 2 weeks later, it was about 11:30 on Friday morning. The conference had started at 11, and lo and behold, Wyatt showed up. I said, hey, buddy, how you doing? He said, John, I'm doing great, and thanks for the free ticket. I'm looking forward to coming here and listening to everything that people are going to say. And by the way, when you get a minute, I need to talk to you about something. Now, I have learned that when you run a paranormal conference and someone looks at you and says, I need to talk to you about something, they're going to talk to you about a paranormal event. I said, sure, Wyatt, hold on a minute. So I took care of the people that were in line, and I said, come on over here. Let's chat just a minute. And he started telling me the most amazing story, truly, one of the most amazing stories I've ever heard. So Wyatt, I'm going to turn the floor over to you and let you tell us this story. And Dr. Trey, I think you'll be amazed when you hear it. All right, Wyatt, it's all you.
Looking forward to it.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I can't wait to explain everything. And if you all have any questions throughout all of this, you know, there's a fairly, like, I can summarize it pretty quickly. And I'll get in depth quite a bit. But I wish my friend Tyler was actually present with me, too, on the call, so he could actually sit in and also, like, apply feedback to the story. But he's not here at the moment. But so it happened about so long ago. It's over 10 years ago now. But it was in May, the end of May, May 29th, 2012. And me and my friend were sitting in my room, and we were just, I was 19 at the time, and we were casually just enjoying the afternoon. And I just got back from a beach trip, and he wanted to see me, and I was like, yeah, I'll be in. You just pop out my house, park where you normally park. We'll hang out for a while. If you want to spend the night, you can. And then he also mentioned that there's supposed to be these two ladies that are going to be traveling through the area, and then they would like to see us or see him. And he asked if I would walk with him to meet them. And I was like, sure, I don't mind doing that. Like, I was dating somebody at the time, but I was like, I'll just go for moral support, and, like, I'll just be there with you. So me and Tyler, we were just very, very cautiously walking, but it didn't take us no time to get there. And we didn't even spend that time, much time talking to him. We probably spent maybe 10 minutes with the ladies probably, and then they decided to leave, and we got their names, and it was very cordial. But and then we decided to walk past
Logan, Wyatt, I want to ask you a quick question. Where did you gentlemen go to meet these girls?
It was on the way to Nicholsville. It's actually called Old Nicholsville Highway, but it's outside Gate City.
Wasn't it an old or a schoolhouse or a vocational center?
No, it's not a vocational center. That's on the other side. But that's kind of – there's a giant loop that's associated with this trail here, and people walk it all the time. But it's Old Nicholsville Highway, and then, like, a part of it's the Filter Plant Road, which is where I currently reside. And so it's like a big giant loop. So, and then we were just there for just a moment. And then we decided to walk back, and then we didn't hurry back to my house. We decided to walk carefully, just like enjoying nature. And then we approached like some of the odd things that I guess we heard them first, and then we decided to shine light on them secondly. But me and him grabbed each other, and then the transmission was very, like, cryptic. It was, like, very, it was almost like Mandarin. It was very vibrational. It was, there was a lot of humming. It was almost sounds like it was electronic, like, it was like analog synthesizer almost, but it was, felt like it was telepathic or internal. And me and him just grabbed each other, and it lasted for about 20 seconds or 25 seconds. And then we saw them run away from us. And they were almost like phase running. They were running so fast, and they were so syncopated. Like, they looked like a synchronized swim team, pretty much. But they were running at very fast speed across the field. And then they literally, like, just went into the creek. It's like they were walked into the creek and then stepped into the creek and disappeared, because we went immediately to my neighbor's house and knocked on my neighbor's house and was like, please let us in. We're really scared right now. And then we waited there, and then we ran over to my house, and then my friend grabbed a pitchfork, and I was like, hold up. If they wanted to hurt us, they would have already done it. I was like, I need to get the spotlight inside my house. So I went inside. I told Dad I spotted deer, and he gave me the spotlight immediately. And then I went out there and spotted the entire creek bank, like the entire creek bank that stretches out that far, and then I didn't see anything. But I do remember them stepping in the water and completely disappearing. But so that was pretty much the gist of it. But we got like 15 feet away from them, 15 to 25 feet, probably, and there's four of them. There was one smaller up front, and then there was three behind that one. Like they were, it was like they were scouts or something. But they were blue. They had black eyes. They didn't have any genitalia. They had like a shiny skin. They had like, I would say, kind of some detail on their body, but it was not too much detail. Like it wasn't a completely like smooth form. So it was actually, the form was actually rough, and there was some design on the front of it, but it's hard to describe it over, like, verbally. But, yeah, that's pretty much it, yeah.
Right. All right, now, it's interesting. I've known you for 7 years, and you tell, first of all, you tell the same story every time. Sometimes there's more detail. Sometimes there's less detail. But you tell exactly the same story. So I want to kind of go over some of the important points I know. Because
I try to provide you can the find most details and every explanation, but I know I can't explain it the same way through. But I'm trying to naturally explain it, how it occurred. And then I wish my friend Tyler would also be present with me, but he's just – I tried to get him to answer, but he didn't for the show. I'm sorry.
Right. Well, that's okay. First of all, you did share with me that they were blue. And what happened is you heard them, you shine the flashlight on them, and it's like they did not see you. They were shocked to see you guys.
They were shocked to see us. That's why I think we heard them or felt them telepathically, and it was almost like a stun kind of thing because we didn't want to move when we were filming this. Like it was like a energy, but we had to actually, like, if they were gonna harm me or do anything to me, I was gonna make sure Tyler was coming with me, and then he did the same thing to me. But they were coming from my right side, and then I had to actually turn, you know, half a quarter or a quarter turn and look to my right side and then shine my LED light at the time on them, which if I wasn't completely fearing for my life, I would try to record or camera that. But we were screaming at this point. We were actually terrified. So that nothing like that. I've felt energies and I think I've seen ghosts before, but it was very brief, but I never have been able to witness form. And then, like, see form in front, like hominids or beings. And that's pretty much what I want to also include.
All right. Well, now that's an incredible story. I've heard it many times. And you can get a copy of the story in the book, Look Up in the Sky, by me, Dr. John Stamey. Get a copy from me at an event, soon to be up on Amazon, third edition. And I think it's very important because when we talk about close encounters, a close encounter of the first kind is actually seeing a UFO. A close encounter of the second kind is seeing beings from a UFO. Close encounter of the third kind is having them close enough that you can really recognize them. Now, you had what is called a close encounter of the fifth kind, where they were communicating with you. And I mean, honestly, I think this is in the realm of Betty and Barney Hill. I mean, this is what they experienced. You know, one of the most famous UFO sightings of all time in the '50s, Betty and Barney Hill, the couple, the interracial couple that had an experience. So is it true that you believe that they were trying to communicate to you?
I don't know if it was directly to us, but it might just be in our direction. But we were definitely there to witness it or hear it or feel it. I don't know if it was very audible, but it was so audible, we pretty much felt it. And it was just something we can't forget. I think about it quite often. I don't try to think about it every day. You know, it's just something that comes, I'll let it enter my mind space and then I'll let it fade, you know, just naturally now because it's been over a decade ago.
Dr. Trey, do you have any questions for Wyatt?
Yeah, I wanted to back up. To describe the appearance of these creatures.
Okay, so there one was shorter. The other one, the other three, there was four, I believe. And my friend actually thinks there was three. But I was like, no, Tyler, I think there was four. And then there was three that was taller than the one in front. And then they were blue. They were like dark blue, made very like their suit or their form. I would just call their form. I wouldn't even call their suit, honestly, because I don't know if they actually had accessories or anything that was actually attached to their body or anything like that. But it looked like there was some design. It wasn't smooth like you would see like from like your traditional. There was some design on the front of it, on the front of the being. Or the one that we could see the most clearly from the road that we were standing on.
Were they human adult height, their child height, or what
oh,
is the
like,
overall?
Like
I understand
big,
one was shorter than the other three, but
okay. The shortest one was probably 5'5" or 5'3", and the tallest ones were probably like 6'8" to 7", or like 6'7". Like they were clearly
so very,
way
very
more
tall.
Yeah,
they were bipedal. They had two legs.
Yes, they were bipedal. Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And
bipedal.
Do they have upper extremities? A pair of arms, or were they humanoid in shape? So there was a head, a torso.
Yep, they had two
arms, legs.
Five. No, I didn't see their nostrils. Their nostrils at all. But they definitely had two black eyes. But their eyes weren't very large. It's not like your traditional. This was about the size of a golf ball, maybe a little bit less than a golf ball. And so their heads weren't even that large either. They seemed like proportionate to their body size. But it was not something that you like. It wasn't overstretched like you would normally see in like a picture or like online or something like that. It was more proportionate to the rest of their like you.
And
so,
was it proportionate to a human's anatomy?
No, it was not. It was not.
How was it different? Were the legs longer or shorter, or the torso longer? Or how is it out of proportion to a human's form?
Most likely just the way the body language and the behaviors. And It's primarily, I would say, just like how slender and like lanky in some places. It was like a little bit lankier than it was. Tyler also agreed with me when we were talking about it later. He was saying that they're very lanky, and I agreed with him. I was like, yeah, they're pretty lanky, and they moved extremely quick. Like the athletic speed would be phenomenal. I have no idea how the crap somebody would move that fast, but let me describe they didn't have like, I didn't see any like kneecaps or like bone structure too much, but I saw like some reflection off of the form or the exoskeleton that they had. It was like the LED was actually causing to refract light off of their form a little bit. So I knew that that's why I thought they might actually have something attached to them or they might be in a suit, but I'm just now to be like, it must have been some type of form. But it was definitely four of them in my awareness, but my friend thinks three. But.
And then the communication element, what sound, what feeling, what impression did this form of communication have?
It had a very sharp, it was very stunning. It almost blew us back. Like, we had to step back. It was very stark and, like, very, it was like redlining an amplifier or something like that. But it was internal. It wasn't, like, I don't think the neighbors heard this. I don't think, like, the mm-hmm. people that the properties nearby, that their houses, I don't think they heard that. I think it was actually in our direction, and it was almost like a, it was either like a quick, think of it kind of like a deter noise in a way, like, or it was some type of a transmission, or it's like we got too close and they didn't realize it and we didn't realize it and we both scared each other at the moment, and then they had that deter noise that was automatically programmed or something. But we screamed, that was our deter noise, and then they didn't approach us, and then we didn't approach them. We actually stepped back of like 3 feet or like 2 feet, and then we huddled together because I was like worried that we were getting taken at that point. But I'm just glad that we were able to get to my house, which was about 200 feet from where it occurred. So
was the communication you received audible? Was it a sound, or was it as a mind speak? Was it in your? Did you sense it more than physically hear it?
I really sense it, and I'm trying to find things in nature that even come close to it. And then like saying like there's like imagine distorted dolphin chatter or something like that, but mixed with Mandarin, mixed with like some type of humming, and it was clicking at the same time. It was very bizarre, and it was so cryptic. We didn't know what to think, and we were just wanting to stay safe. We were like, let's make sure that we just and there was no time missing to our knowledge at all. We were there. We were conscious the whole time, but we remember.
It sounds like a very memorable encounter, that's for sure.
Yeah, it does, Tyler. And Tyler, one thing that I would like to do is I would like to get Devin. He could not be with us tonight. I would like for him to listen to this podcast and listen to your description of the sounds, because he is a pretty good electronic musician. And let's see if he can come up with something that sounds like it. And, you know, you can listen to it and kind of change. Well, how would that be?
Yeah, just hearing that would be excellent. I would like to hear if it would be like intermittent clicks mixed with like dark notes, and then it would be rapid. I mean, this would be like a rapid transmission. There's a lot of information happening all at once. And then, I mean, it lasted probably like for 15 to 20 seconds, and we just stood there. Like, we didn't run. We were afraid to run. But then they decided to run, and it was almost like a standoff, really. And then they ran away. And then, because it was extremely lit, like the field was lit from the moon and like me shining light. Because at this point, I think Tyler pulled out his phone or his light and was shining it also. But we could see them like dip past the edge of the field, and I mean it was like they used the surface of the water almost like a gateway or a portal, in my opinion, because I didn't see them at all. I mean, we booked it. Like, we ran back to my house. But first, we tried to get into my neighbor's because I was worried about her safety, like running in dirt, because the direction we were going back to my house is the direction we saw them running in. So essentially, I had to go the direction they were going. And I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. So that's why I made the decision to actually knock on my neighbor's house.
She never answered, correct?
No, she didn't. She did not answer. It was 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. May 29th,
so then you guys ran to your house, correct?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, it's just so wild to talk about it again. But I'm glad that you all have questions for me. It's very nice. Most people are just like, let me like vent it and then like talk about it and discuss it. But most they don't really have too many questions about it.
Was there any hair or
no.
Things on the surface? Could you tell the difference between blue skin and a bodysuit or clothing, or what was your impression? Were they naked or were they clothed? Just in general, in your opinion.
I believe they were completely naked, but I didn't see any clothes or anything like that. Or I didn't see anything from what they were wearing. Or if I didn't see a helmet or anything, like it was like some type of air suit or anything like that, or thing of that nature. It was completely that like they were like that. Their mannerisms are completely just it's hard to forget how they stood there and like them like stepping back as well and like just like standing their ground. And like then they proceeded to have the noise, and then, but just the mannerisms. Like me and Tyler stayed up probably 6 extra hours. I know four just talking about it, but like a whole 6 extra hours after the event happened. And then my girlfriend at the time, she came by the next morning. I tried to explain to her with him outside. He was like backing me up. And then she was like, what did you all get into? Like just making up, like she didn't realize the entirety of it. And I tried to like explain to her. I tried to like talk to her again later that day, you know, in person, be like, look, like this happened. It was really wild. But I just got back from the beach. Like I just got back traveling like 6 or 7 hours and then stayed the first night back. It happened, or like the second night back, I guess, because the first night I'd be too tired. But yeah, it was wild. Yeah.
So you couldn't tell what they were running from or what they were running to. They just whipped by you and then went to the water and then vanished.
Vanished. Yeah, I can actually like use a directional clock to help you out with. So they were like, imagine me walking at a 12 o'clock pace. And then they are around like 3 o'clock, and then they stop at 3 o'clock, and then they turn around at their. Because if they're looking at us, then they're gonna turn around probably south south. That's the direction they were running. They were running south. Let me see. They are running southwest. Yeah, that's the direction they are running was southwest, and so they had to do like almost a 180. Or, you know, like a partial, like 180, and then turn, and then run up the side of the road or follow the field that's near here. And then they vanished. They completely, I think they used the, or they went across the creek, the body of water really fast, and we didn't hear them. Because normally, if you hear something cross water, you can hear it. Because when deer run across water, you can hear it for a long way.
Right.
So they, we
was it a rocky bank or mud? No tracks. Just everything looked when you looked at it with the bright light.
A very grassy like bank. Like imagine just a grass, and then water. And mm-hmm. there's like a drop off. Mm-hmm. So it's actually at a well maintained field now because the school bought it, but it was still maintained before the school bought it, and so it was just. An empty field. So it's a really maintained field. I was actually went out there. There's another occurrence where I actually went out with my camera and tried to capture something. I saw what looked like welding residue dripping from the sky. And I went out there immediately after it was over, and I was trying to take pictures of residue or something like that I could find on the ground, you know, ash or something, because it looked like somebody was shooting off something, fireworks that was directly in the field or here. But yeah, we even went the next morning to look at anything that was remaining, like around next to the road where the mm-hmm. like the transmission, mm-hmm. the noise happened, and also next to the water. But no, I didn't.
Nothing looked disturbed or different than you'd imagine it would look normally.
Yeah, it looked fine. It looked just like a creek bank. It didn't.
It never happened again. No, didn't repeat. This was just a one-off, and there you go.
No, this is off. This is I've never had this happen to this magnitude. I've seen like shadow people before, and I've heard things, and I've. Seen, you know, like dots in the sky move, you know, like, you know, I'm thinking they're UFOs or something, but other than that, it could be a drone nowadays, honestly, but nothing to this magnitude. It shook the ground we walk on. Like it made me question my reality that from that point forward, because I was 19 years old
And that happened to me and my friend. And he was a really good friend in high school. And then he stopped talking to me for like, I don't know, like 4 to 6 months. And he briefly got a hold of me and was like, we need to talk about what happened. And I let him, I recorded him talking about it. And then we have that audio log. We have several different things. But the only thing that's ever happened in my very long like off past is like maybe seeing a shadow person. And that's like in this house when I was in 2010. But, and then there was something after them in 2014 when I was telling you that there was like some type of light and it had like a sparkler, like welding residue or whatever, like dripping off of it. And it was in the middle of the field. And that was, but so it was like 2010 because we moved here in 2008. And then it had one event happened in 2010 and then the other event May 2012 and then the other event 2014. So it was like a 2 year period for all three events.
Okay. All right. Now, Wyatt, I've got a question for you. You said that, like, you gentlemen were walking at 12 o'clock to get to your neighbor's house and to your house, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was very late, like 11, 12, yeah. And the earliest
right.
10:30.
And then the creatures were at 3 o'clock. Correct?
Yeah. Yeah, they were at our three. They're at our side. It's like we had to actually, like, use our peripheral vision to actually, like, lock onto them. And then once I realized it wasn't deer approaching us, because that's what I thought it was. I thought it was just a herd of deer that just got too close to us, because I've done that before. I've snuck up on deer before while they've been bedded down in the middle of the field at night. And they get spooked and they run away. But no, they were approaching us, and it was very... very troubling. And then I stopped, they stopped, and then we alerted each other. But yeah, go ahead, John, I'm sorry.
Right, and you said that, okay, they were at 3 o'clock, and when they started running, what position on the clock did they start running toward?
Like 1 o'clock or 12 o'clock.
Okay, so
running pretty much
at 1 o'clock. No, that's fine. So that would be approximately the same way you were going, but a little farther to the right of you, correct?
Correct. Yep. That's exactly right. It's almost
okay,
like
and then you guys ran basically at 12 o'clock to get up to your neighbor's house and to your mom's house, correct?
11 or 12 o'clock, yeah. We were running 12 o'clock, and then we had to run 11 o'clock just to get to her porch. And then, I was desperate. I was, like, trying to, like, get inside. Honestly, we were debating a report. We were like, no, we need to just write it down on my iPad and then discuss about it and then record audio log. And then after, like, I didn't discuss it for probably 8 months or something. But I did only tell, like, a few select people within, like, the first 8 months. And then Tyler didn't tell anybody. He was afraid to tell his family. His family is pretty big religious background, so he was just, like, worried what they would say. And that's what my assumption was. I'm not entirely sure if that's correct or not. But...
okay, well, you know what? That gives us a good idea. And now, if they were running toward 1 o'clock, you say there was a creek or creek bed there at 1 o'clock where they would have crossed,
yeah.
And they seem to have vanished.
Yeah, they just completely, like, unless they crossed it pretty fast, which I imagine they did, and they kept on going, or they maybe somehow accessed the portal there and they completely vanished. That's the only, because, I mean, the spotlight was, it's a very powerful spotlight. It has a lot of lumens. I can't remember how many lumens that spotlight had specifically, but it was a lot of lumens to spot deer. So, I mean, I was able to scan, because I walked at the edge of my driveway and then scanned the whole creek bank that I could see from left to right. Because I was like, well, now I have the spotlight, I can see them approaching me if something happens. I just was bold enough just to quickly do it, and then I got back inside. Like, I
I didn't stay out there very long at all. Me and Tyler got back inside, and we went straight upstairs. And we had goosebumps. We were completely shook for a matter of, like, 4 to 6 hours. Yeah, it was wild. Like, we had trouble sleeping. I still have, like, think about it randomly.
Okay. All right, well, Dr. Trey, do you have any other questions for Wyatt? Dr. Trey. Ah, he's back. Dr. Trey, are you there?
Battery died.
Oh, okay, got you.
Battery died. I'm sorry I dropped out.
Well, we're glad you're back. So do you have any more questions for Wyatt?
No, you know, what I like, Wyatt, is that a lot of times people don't get a very good look at things. And it sounds like you had a pretty good look. What time of night was this?
Around 10:50 or 11:30. Because we didn't spend much time talking with the two ladies.
Was there much ambient light? How could you see them so clearly at night? Street lights or just ambient light? Or how much light was there so you could see these observations?
So at the time, there was actually a pretty good moon light, and then there's also one or two street lights, just one or two at that portion of the road, and then
right. We
had two LED lights on our person. He had one, and I had one. It was just a standard, like iPhone light, you know.
Right.
Despite
being night, if you had street lights. If there was a bright moon, if you had lights in your hand that you could point at these,
I did. Yeah,
these guys. Yeah, that's pretty good. And it's very nice to hear somebody who actually had a clear view of this. And you weren't alone, and your friend corroborated.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing.
It wasn't just you strolling it. 10:30 at night. See this. You had somebody else
to witness
to each other.
The co-witness. That's what's important.
And
exactly.
Now, has your friend talked to you? You said that there was a little drop in conversations for a while, and then he was back. Do you still communicate with him?
Yeah, he actually sent me something 4 to 5 days ago. He contacted me through Messenger. He asked me what I've been doing. And then I asked him something. He reads it, but he's always so busy because he has a family now, and he has to pay, I'm assuming, an apartment bill and do different things out there in the real world, and he can never really get in touch with me. But he does get in touch with me probably monthly, bi-monthly, something like that. And then
you think
he might like to come on the show sometime and talk about your joint experience? Yeah, I hope he does. Honestly, I really hope he does, but he's very hesitant on doing anything like that. I'm really trying to get him to actually branch out because it took me a process of like, for the first, like, 4 to 6 years, I was only whispering this at, like, festivals. Like, I would just tell certain individuals that I thought would be ready for something, some information about said events that's happened to certain individuals. I think this is happening to certain individuals across the nation or across the world, and we're just, like, not acknowledging we're not seeing the contrast of it all. And we're
if he wants to remain under wraps, we could always use a fictitious name for him if that would help him. But I think it would be fascinating to have both of you on and listen to your narrative from two different perspectives and hear how they are alike and how they might differ a little bit. I think that'd be great.
I would honestly, because the last time I've heard him talk about it, it was very long ago, but he normally is very short with it. It's just like, yeah, I do remember. What do you need? Why are you asking me more questions about it? Or it's like, I've heard him be short with me, and then sometimes he's not. And then sometimes I'll just mention something briefly. But there's also times where we'll go many conversations, and then we'll not say anything about it because it's just how it needs to be. And we need to enjoy other things without bringing up the paranormal or the supernatural, the esoteric, or anything like that. We need to just, like, it's like,
you know, if
it's almost like
any further encounters or experiences with the supernatural.
What about experiences with the supernatural? I couldn't hear the first part of that. I'm sorry.
Has he had any subsequent experiences with supernatural or abnormal sightings of things, or is he tuned to that world, or is
No, not that I'm currently aware of. But I've known about this since I was very young. I used to watch things about the different things when, like, on the History Channel. There would just be things on the History Channel or the Discovery Channel on satellite TV that I would hear about. But I don't remember him talking about any of this in high school or college. And we were best friends all through middle school and high school, really. Played online games together, and we went to the same community college. And so, you know, he was actually more down-to-earth, kind of like your regular dude. I'm more of the esoteric kind of person. Like, I kind of like that kind of topic or that category.
Mm-hmm.
And it intrigues me because it's been discussed for hundreds of years and we're still trying to pinpoint exactly what's going on. And since this has happened to me, I started to take it more seriously. I started to look up important figures over the past 100, 200, 300 years that have had maybe similar experiences with these types of beings or other types of beings that might look similar.
And you know Wyatt, there's something interesting about your story. Again, you tell the same story every time. You told it to me ever since the first Tennessee Bigfoot conference. And, you know, while there may be sometimes more details or less details, the general story is the same. Now, here's one thing that I want to ask you to do, and this is very important, and I'm sorry I didn't ask you to do this before. But even if it's just on a piece of notebook paper, could you draw a little bit of a map of the buildings and the trail around it and where your houses were? Could you do that for me and take a picture and send it to me?
Yeah, I could. It would just have to – I'm trying to actually think about – I've discussed something with Susan from MUFON about just taking an overlay picture because I had to record a video for her, and she was just like, yeah,
right,
just provide an overlay
right
of the neighborhood. And then you can draw out like a dotted line of where you met these people, and then you stopped here for a second, and then the dotted line persists up the hill and then down, and then you stop there and have the interaction, and then you're going to have another tear within the map, and then it'll be actually to show where the entities started to move. But, yeah, that's what I plan on doing, essentially.
Right. If you could do that, because we've got your story in our in Look Up in the Sky version 3.0, and if you could just draw a map of kind of the outline of where the school was, where the path was, and where they were,
yeah,
and then draw an arrow where they ran to, I think that would be great, and that would be a lot of help for people to kind of understand what happened. I mean, I kind of understand it now because you did the 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 1 o'clock thing. That was very, very helpful. And if you could just on a piece of notebook paper, if you could do that, I think that would really help our story, you know, to help people understand what went on with it. And also Dr. Trey has asked a couple of questions that have pinpointed some things that I didn't really have in our story. So, you know, Dr. Trey, I really appreciate your questions because, and in fact, I'll in the book, I'm going to probably, not probably, I'm going to give you some credit for helping put this thing together because I think it's important. I think it's the real thing. I'm, as I told people, Betty and Barney, do you know Betty and Barney Hill? Everybody knows who Betty and Barney Hill are. They're the multiracial couple who had the who were abducted. And it's one of the great stories in modern UFO history. They were abducted, I think, in 1954. And it's an amazing story, an amazing book, and I think this is in the area of that. Now, I want to go ahead and add a story to this that I was told by a friend of mine named Robin Moonshadow. She is from Toronto, and her father was in the Vietnam War. And so she heard his stories, and he told that probably at least a third of all of the soldiers over there in Vietnam had UFO experiences and had experiences with aliens. And they were told absolutely not to tell them. And that, and what, as she says, those stories, those experiences are probably a lot of what created the PTSD over there. Now, Dr. Trey, I know that sounds a bit fantastic, but this is a really pretty solid lady. She's from Toronto. I've known her for like 7 or 8 years, and she doesn't seem to be predisposed to lie. And do you think, I'm going to ask you the kind of the weird question. Do you think if a number of our soldiers had experiences with UFOs and had experiences with aliens, that could cause bouts of PTSD and bouts of craziness?
Heck, well, you know, question, by the definition, post-traumatic stress disorder. So if you had if the encounter was traumatic to you, by definition, you would be after a trauma that would be PTSD. But certainly Vietnam had lots of other traumas that they could be exposed to. So I don't know if I'd hang it all.
Of course. And I agree. There could be other things watching
for the additive.
What's so great is that when Dr. John studied that exactly, you know, a PTSD post, you know, have you ever heard him speak about it with the alien encounters?
Who, me?
No, Dr. John Mack speaking about PTSD on alien encounters.
I have not. John Mack?
Yes, Dr. John Mack. It's excellent. He actually had a mysterious passing, in my opinion, because it was a very tragic accident, because he was a Harvard professor. He was talking about, I just wanted to quickly speak about that really quick.
You there, Wyatt?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, good. You're back. Okay, please continue.
Oh, no, yeah, I just wanted to say the episode of Dr. John Mack speaking about PTSD affecting alien encounters or experiencers of people that are encountering or extra dimensionals or you know, entities or whatever have you.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, I'll do a little bit of research on Dr. John Mack and see if that would be something we could add to your story. And of course, I'll talk to you about it. And gentlemen, this has been a lot of fun. We've talked about some great things, and we've uncovered some things from Wyatt's story, and just look forward to, hey, Wyatt, we got to have you back. Will you come back and be with us?
Oh, yeah. I'll step in and speak every now and then if I'm not busy.
Well, that's great. Well, thanks. and Dr. Trey, we really appreciate the things that you brought to light, and I'm going to review this and add a few things to the story that's in Look Up in the Sky version 3 right before it gets to Amazon. So we'll have more on this, and Wyatt, if you can get me a copy of that map, we'll add that into the story. I think it'll add a lot to the story and people's understanding of what went on. So I wanted to say thank you both for being on ScaryCast tonight. Robin has a hall pass. Devin had to go out of town. Kyler had some family issues. So it was Dr. Trey, thank you for being with us and helping us carry the banner of ScaryCast. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Happy to be here, and I'm glad I got to hear the story.
All right. Well, we appreciate you doing that. And Wyatt, thank you for being here. And we'll be back next week with John LeMay talking about bloodsuckers and those crazy animals that suck the blood out of other animals and humans. So that's going to be a lot of fun. That will be kind of the precursor.
Those are lawyers, right?
Do what?
Those are lawyers, aren't they?
You know what?
Oh, right.
I've got a lawyer. I've got two lawyers that I love to death, and they're not bloodsuckers. They're really not. But I know a lot of them are. So yes, you're right. But anyway, so John and I are going to talk about bloodsuckers next week. And then in 3 weeks, we have got Spencer Fisher, former number two MMA in the world for a year and a half. He just had a hip replacement, and he is going to talk about his two visits to Skinwalker Ranch, and I cannot wait to hear what he's got to say. And then on the 10th, we've got Elijah Henderson talk about Land Between the Lakes and Dogman. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We got a great October lined up. For ScaryCast, it's good to have everybody here on the show. So say goodbye, Trey. Say goodbye, Wyatt. And we'll see everybody next week, 9 p.m. Eastern on ScaryCast.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Bye, everybody.